Welcome to the Rapid Growth Life and Business Podcast, where entrepreneurs, business owners, and life hackers develop strategies to transform ourselves and our businesses in the fastest way possible with the least amount of friction. Remember, you're only ever one insight away. I'm your host, Snowy Phillips. Hi, and welcome to today's episode. I was chatting with a friend of mine recently, and he said these words, or words to this effect: I just need to look after myself properly and pick the right battles. Then I jokingly said that should be the title of my next podcast. It got me to thinking about some of the great ideas that appear from all over the place that you just get, I guess, confronted by in everyday living. Often, when I hear or read something interesting, amusing, insightful, or I guess wise, I tend to write it down either in one of the small portable journals that I carry or straight into Evernote if I need to put it in my phone. I think we often overlook, let's call it pithy wisdom, would that be the right term? Maybe bite-sized wisdom would be a better description, because it does not seem to have, let's call it, the gravity of longer, more drawn-out ideas. The thing is, I think most people would do well to collect quotes and poems and paragraphs that succinctly say that which we, I guess, would otherwise take longer, or would take a long time to express. Actually, most people, for that matter, would do well to go out and buy a good book of quotations just for that reason. They're chock full of so much succinct wisdom and ideas that, you know, cleverer people than us have thought about and has been good enough to, like I say, make it into such a book. Anyway, so I thought I would, in this episode, run through a couple of quotes that I've found useful. Maybe you will too. Then it's by no means a complete list. I collect quotes in my second brain. Again, my second brain. I'll definitely do an episode on my second brain. But these are some quick ones that jumped out as I was thinking about this episode. And I think, I'll give you a dozen or so, and then maybe a poem or two that hopefully it won't turn you off for the idea of a poem, because even short, succinct poems can give you immeasurable ideas that can last you the test of time. I think will stand out. Anyway, back to the quotes. The first quote I'm going to go with is by Henri Bergson, and it's this: think like a man of action, act like a man of thought. Think like a man of action, act like a man of thought. Just love that quote so much. Anyway, quote number two: our doubts are traitors. They make us lose the good we oft might win by fearing to attempt. Shakespeare. You can never go really far wrong with Shakespeare. Our doubts are traitors, they make us lose the good we oft might win by fearing to attempt. I love that quote, and I think it's so instructional for all of us. Okay, number three is controversial, just by who wrote it, because the quote is by a character called John Galt from the novel Atlas Shrugged. It's this: I swear by my life and my love of life that I will not live for the sake of another man, nor ask another man to live for the sake of me. It's a call to a person being self-driven and maybe even a little bit selfish, so that's why it might be controversial. In America, Ayn Rand is a polarizing figure, much less so here in the UK. But her books are interesting. Let's call it that. Okay, this next quote is spectacular. "We are here to laugh at the odds and live our lives so well that death will tremble to take us." That's Charles Bukowski. "We're here to laugh at the odds and live our lives so well that death will tremble to take us." I'm going to give you a Bukowski poem at the end of this episode, because it's some of his writing is just so very good and definitely worth picking up. Okay, this one comes from the Bible. Proverbs 28 says, "Without a vision, the people perish." I've mentioned before in other episodes, there's three things you need in order to get anything: a starting point, a destination, and a strategy to get there. Well, the vision is that destination. So without it, the people perish. They'll zigzag all over the desert and never find what they want. This is a short version of a much larger quote, and it's this: "Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. It comes at the end of the... until one is committed, there is hesitancy, a chance to draw back," quote, which is definitely worth looking up if you've not seen it. It's about being committed and definite action, and providence moving too. Okay, quote number 8. I got this from the film Don Juan DeMarco, so if you've not seen it, maybe you should. Maybe it's worth watching. Who knows? Anyway, in it, Don Juan is speaking to his psychiatrist, and he tells the psychiatrist this: "There are only 4 questions of value in life, Don Octavio." Don Octavio is his therapist. "The first is what is sacred. The second, of what the spirit is made. What is worth living for, and what is worth dying for." And he says the answer is the same in each of them: only love. Let me give you that again without me commenting. "There are only 4 questions of value in life, Don Octavio. What is sacred? Of what is the spirit made? What is worth living for? And what is worth dying for? The answer to each is the same: only love." Wise words. Okay, so this one is a quote that's wrong, but I'm going to give you the quote anyway. The quote is this: "Most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to their grave with their songs still in them." It's misquoted misquoted a quote of Henry David Thoreau from Walden. And if you've ever read Walden, you realize it doesn't actually say that. But I prefer that quote, the misquoted quote. "Most men live lives of quiet desperation and they go to their grave with their songs still in them." Number 10, "To live is the rarest thing in the world. Most people exist. That is all." That's Oscar Wilde, and it's powerful. "To live is the rarest thing in the world. Most people exist. That is all." Gosh, how frightening is that? And the weird thing is, all you have to do is look around to know that that's true. Some people just day-to-day it without any pursuit of grace or glory or growth. It's frightening but true. I like this this next one. This is a quote by Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he said, "I'm driven by 2 main philosophies: know more about the world than I knew yesterday, and lessen the suffering of others." You'd be surprised how far that gets you. I'm going to repeat that because it's, again, so incredibly powerful. "I'm driven by 2 main philosophies: know more about the world than I knew yesterday, and lessen the suffering of others." You'd be surprised how far that gets you. The funny thing is this: So few people do anything to increase their knowledge, increase their understanding, or more importantly, lessen their ignorance. And if you do that, coupling that with trying to make the world a better place by helping those people who are, let's call it, less fortunate than you, then yeah, you'll be amazed at how willing the world will stand aside and let you do just that. Most people don't take the time to either improve themselves, grow, or like I say, do nothing to decrease their ignorance, and that's tragic to me. And in turn, if you do all that growth and improvement without trying to help those who come behind you, then what's the purpose of all that growth and understanding? Is it for just selfish reasons? I don't think it should be. Okay, and this, this last quote is about words and language. Originally it was written about copywriting, but I think the quote has use far beyond just writing down words to use as either a sales message or in marketing, but it's a challenge to how we actually use our words in everyday life. Words have power. Anyway, let me give you the quote. Most people handle words as if they're pennies, light, cheap, dispensable. Instead, I want you to handle them as if they were manhole covers or 45-pound weights in the gym. Think before you pick them up. Look before you put them down. Make sure you choose the right one and put it in the right place. Words shouldn't be cheap to you and interchangeable. They should be dear to you and fit for purpose. I think how easy we are with language and how we let loose language upon people without pre-thought. Like that first quote, think like a man of action, act like a man of thought. I think that challenge works equally well for the words you use and to the people you use them on. We should be really careful with our words. Words have power. Anyway, this last one's a bonus one, and I like it just because it's amusing. And it's from Groucho Marx. He says, "I don't want to belong to any club that would accept people like me as a member," which I find amusing. Okay, so I mentioned, here's the thing. I mentioned this recently to a friend of mine, Sarah, who's a poet, about the power of poetry. I think, as I've said, poems are an often overlooked medium for wisdom. For example, there's this two-line poem that changed the path of my life more than probably anything I've ever learned. For example, with this poem, I explained to Sarah we would not be friends. We'd not be sitting atop a mountain together in a hot tub if it wasn't for this poem. Because of this poem I learned in my teens, that I started a conversation in a cafe come restaurant in Thailand that led to our friendship. And it was this poem that did that. It's the shortest poem I think Walt Whitman ever wrote. It's called To You. And this is it. It's two lines. It says this: "Stranger, if you in passing meet me and desire to speak to me, why should you not speak to me? And why should I not speak to you?" I'm going to give you that again. "Stranger, if you passing meet me and desire to speak to me, why should you not speak to me? And why should I not speak to you?" This poem, over the years, has given me permission, or maybe the courage, to start a conversation with anyone and everyone. Maybe it'll do the same for you. There's a weird thing that happens to people And this is not just from a romantic idea, but there's a thing called approach anxiety, which is real. And we all fear the notion of rejection, the fear of approaching someone to say hello, just in case we get that bad response. And so because of that, we sometimes don't speak to the people we should. And like I say, that can be from a romantic idea, or it can be from just an everyday, oh, they look friendly, I'm going to say hello. Think how many times you might have sat in a coffee shop or a cafe or a bar, and there was someone near you and you wanted to start a conversation just for conversation's sake and never did. Well, this poem gave me that excuse, let's call it that, gave me the excuse to, whenever I wanted to speak to someone, this poem gave me the reason why, the reason why it was acceptable for me to do that, because, hey, I had this poem, and if it was okay for Walt Whitman to say it, it was okay for me to do it. Okay. I promised you some more Bukowski, so we'll finish with this one. This is a poem called Roll the Dice by Charles Bukowski, and I hope, upon hope, that I do this poem justice. Roll the Dice by Charles Bukowski. And it says this: if you're going to try, go all the way. Otherwise, don't even start. If you're going to try, go all the way. This could mean losing girlfriends, wives, relatives, jobs, and maybe your mind. Go all the way. It could mean not eating for 3 or 4 days. It could mean freezing on a park bench. It could mean jail. It could mean derision, mockery, isolation. Isolation is the gift. All the others are a test of your endurance, of how much you really want to do it. And you'll do it, despite rejection and the worst odds, and it will be better than anything you can imagine. If you're going to try, go all the way. There's no feeling like that. You will be alone with the gods, and the nights will flame with fire. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. All the way. All the way. You will ride life straight to perfect laughter. It's the only good fight there is. And that's Charles Bukowski. What a legend. Okay. Well, I hope you like my rendition. If you're going to try, go all the way. And I hope you'll get something out of this episode. I hope that you will start collecting bite-sized chunks of wisdom. Maybe you'll start reading some poetry. Maybe you'll start writing some. Maybe every time you're confronted by a short, succinct idea, you will take that idea and jot it down for later consideration or thought. Maybe, if you're really smart, you'll go off and buy a book, a big book of great quotations by people greater than us. And you'll look at the various situations and things that people have said, and in a similar situation, maybe you will have better words, better thoughts, better thinking because of those quotes and bite-sized bits of wisdom that you've been confronted by. Anyway, that's where we're going to end it today. As ever, if there was something useful in this, remember II on I&I. Immediate implementation on ideas and insights. If you can, join me on the next episode. Till then, be well, stay lucky, and have a really, really great day. Now go and read some poetry. Bye for now.